Roots Veritas on Radio Bristol. Luke Church here. I got a studio session for you with Webb Wilder. His new album is Hillbilly Speedball. A lot of great music on this record and a lot of wonderful artists that he pulled together to record this album. Webb Wilder on Radio Bristol.
Used to be good work in these tobacco towns. Nobody smokes anymore. They just burn a house down. Everybody's home cooking with gasoline. Bathtub gin, methamphetamine. When my mixture's just right, I'm a brand new man, flying too high to fall. Another dark night with a motel tan, running from Newton's law. Hillbilly speedball. Don't accept no riders. Don't stop for gifts. I got the Jake Brake tuned, not to a perfect fit. Got an eight ball habit, pushing through a codeine fog. Bottle of red if I hit the wall. When my mixture's just right, I'm a brand new man, flying too high to fall. Another dark night with a motel tan, running from Newton's law. Hillbilly speedball. Always trying to bridge the great divide between the king of the road and the demon inside. Bet the over and under, find a stretch of good road. Let the hum of the highway lighten my load. When my mixture's just right, I'm a brand new man, flying too high to fall. Another dark night with a motel tan, running from Newton's law. Hillbilly speedball. Running from Newton's law. Hillbilly speedball.
Webb Wilder on Radio Bristol, performing in the studio session songs from his new album, Hillbilly Speedball, title track right there. Welcome in, Webb. You know, the last time we were in a radio studio together was 9 years ago for your album, Mississippi Modern, in 2016.
Wow. Well, thank you, Luke. It's great to be here. Yeah, that's kind of a blur. 2016, you know, we had COVID in between, and gosh, you know what we had, of course, is the Night Without Love album, which didn't get its due to COVID, like so many people's releases. It came out in April of 2020.
Yeah, a lot of folks found that, you know, they had albums coming out around that time and ready to hit the road, and then the world stopped. But I'm glad you are here with this new album. A great collection of songs, great folks on this album with you. How did this one come about? What was the impetus to get these songs recorded for this album?
How it came about and the impetus is sort of twofold, because I'm very grateful to Michael Rothschild at Landslide Records for being there in a record company sort of way, more than anyone else has been in my life. You know, I've got about 13 albums, and some of them are on different labels, but more of them than not are on Landslide. So I knew he wanted me to make another record, or was going to allow me to make another record, which is no small thing. Costs money to make records, you know, unless you're just Emmett Rhodes and have your own studio and play everything, you know, and you still had to buy that equipment, right? Or take that time away from somebody who would pay you to be a garbage man or whatever. So anyway, I was very grateful for that, but I was at a loss for how to begin, I suppose. And I have my own radio show that I've been pretty busy with, and gigs, you know, and this and life itself. So I'm very close to my friend of many years, who's one of the world's greatest guitarists, David Grissom, who wrote the title track of this album, Hillbilly Speedball, as it turns out. But in the early days of that song, he called me and he said, "Man, I got a new song I wrote. I want to get your opinion of it," which is flattering in and of itself. Why should he care what I think of it, right? But I guess he cares what I think. So when he sent it to me, I thought, oh, my first thought was, I want to do it, you know? And maybe he was sly. Maybe he thought that would be the way to pitch it to me. I don't really think so, though. So I said, hey, man, what about me doing it? It's in the same key as Human Cannonball and Tough It Out, you know? And I like it. And he goes, sure, more the merrier. Well, the next thing you know, being the big-hearted guy he is, he's sending us tracks, you know? And he's one of the greatest guitarists in the world. That doesn't hurt. And so my good friend George Bradfute of many years, who I did many recordings with, including the Night Without Love album, and I set to work, and that was what got us in motion, you know. And we got the great Greg Morrow to play drums on it, as we did the next song. So I thought, well, what else can I do? Let's see. Well, I wrote a song many years ago with John David from Wales, who played with Dave Edmonds, that Status Quo, as they pronounce it in the UK, recorded, called Kick Me When I'm Down. So we cut that, and then I thought, well, you know, what about an all-acoustic version of Tell Mama by Savoy Brown? And so we got Fats Kaplan and Bob Williams, and, you know, we cut that. And that might be the first thing I ever did with zero drums, zero percussion. And I just thought, well, that's kind of cool. And giving credit where credit's due, I might have had the idea. I'm not sure that I did, because Bruce Robison, one of the few people who's actually taller than me in the music business, had recorded Squeezebox that way, sort of, by The Who. But I'm not sure I knew about that, but maybe. And so what did we do next? So next, you know, my aunt and uncle owned and operated Trumpet Records. And I didn't know that until I was already playing in bands, because the label had folded about the time I was born. And my uncle was always in the furniture business. And when I discovered Trumpet Records, I mean, that's Elmore James' Dust My Broom. That's most of the Sonny Boy Williamson stuff, including Eyesight to the Blind, which was his first single, which she produced, which The Who covered. Come on. And I was born on Pete Townsend's birthday. So one of my fantasies is that some record company would let me do an entire album of trumpet songs. I mean, they had gospel, they had hillbilly, they had blues. So far, it hasn't happened. So George, my co-producer, we were trying to think what we would record next, and he said, well, what about those trumpet songs? And I said, well, you know, I was saving them all, thinking I'd do a whole album of them. Then I thought, well, we could do it acoustic and do it electric later. So Willie loves V8 Ford Blues. And if you realize that drums are acoustic instruments, we did do it all acoustic, because we cut it. We had the great Jim Hoke on harp, and again, Bob Williams on some dobro, and I played 12-string acoustic, and George played upright bass. But we brought Brian Owings in to put some real behind-the-beat pocket kind of drums on it. And somewhere along the line, I realized that I'd been wanting to write a song for years called Couple of Good Moves, the idea of which I got from Dan Baird in the Georgia Satellites in 89. That's how long I've been working on this song. Because we're driving down the road in the Satellites bus. I don't know why I was on it. And I said, have you ever seen that movie, Elmer Gantry, with Burt Lancaster? He goes, oh, you ought to see that. It'll give you a couple of good moves or new moves or something. So I think that stuck in my mind. And a bunch of years passed. I started the song, and suddenly I guess I had a reason to finish it for this album. And we're real proud of how that turned out.
Well, as I said, you have just a great collection of songs on this record. You dug deep, I gotta say. You got a Chuck Berry song on here?
Yeah.
Beautiful Delilah.
Always wanted to do it.
And a song titled Sorrow, done by the McCoys.
Thank you for citing them, because, you know, Rick Derringer grew up to be a fantastic musician, but the McCoys version is kind of awful. But as a kid, I loved songs, and that's where I first heard it, too. And it turned out it was by a British group called the Mersey's. A lot of people heard it when David Bowie covered it, you know, on pinups. But V8 Ford Blues and Sorrow were songs that came about from doing solo gigs. And, you know, you have a lot of flexibility and a lot of limitations playing solo. But if you think of something you want to play, ain't nobody but you, you know, and that would be one of them. And for a while, I was never playing it the same way twice, and I was just finding my way into an arrangement. And then, of all things, Vince Gill agreed to sing harmony on it.
Amazing. I mean, he is such a nice guy.
He is. He's the world's most down-to-earth superstar.
Talking with Webb Wilder on Radio Bristol in the studio for a session, performing songs from his new record, Hillbilly Speedball. Let's hear another song off of this album. What do you want to do for us?
What about a couple of good moves?
Sounds great. Webb Wilder performing on Radio Bristol.
It was a deep cut, it didn't bleed much, but it taught me a couple of good moves. Hung around some, played dumb, turned my rut into a groove. Well, I got scared out there, declared, repaired, sawed off the limb at the top of the tree. Tried the best to do it, can't get rid of me. They took a pot shot at your sweet spot. Looks like you might have got grazed, but likely as not, what you got must have left you unfazed. High stakes, deep fakes, heartbreaks, for Pete's sake. Don't do nothing if you don't know what to do. Walk it like you talk it, that ought to do for you. Sometimes you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves. In time, you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves. Only one or two ought to do for you. Couple of good moves. Sometimes you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves. Sometimes you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves. I got mine in time. All you need is a couple of good moves. Keep this in mind, you'll find. All you need is a couple of good moves, yeah.
Webb Wilder on Radio Bristol performing in a studio session. We heard a couple of good moves from his new album, Hillbilly Speedball. And I keep harping on it, man, but what a great selection of songs on this album. It's like, listen to this album, it's like a musical education.
Lots of roots cred. You got Two Crickets, Chuck Berry, Carl Perkins, you know, Savoy Brown, Willie Love, the bluesman. So, yeah, you know, in addition to singing, I talk, you know, so I'm a DJ and I've done voiceovers and audiobooks. And it just so happens I did the audiobook for Everly Brothers' biography, Blood Harmony by Barry Mazur.
That's wonderful. That's a great book, getting just wonderful reviews.
Yes, and very informative, and they deserved a good biography. But it ties in to the last song I'm ever going to sing, because the version I first heard and the only version I knew of was the Everly's version. And when I was a kid, you know, I was sort of a misfit, like I am now, I guess, and was flipping through. I mean, I was really young, and I was flipping through some records at a Gibson's Discount Center, probably 66 or 7, maybe 8. I doubt it was 8. And there it was, the Everly Brothers sing great country hits. And at the time, country was sort of a guilty pleasure of mine. I didn't really want my friends to know I liked country too, which is ridiculous. But I watched Shindig and all these rock TV shows, but I watched all those syndicated country shows too. And I knew the Everly Brothers were cool. And I knew those guitars were cool. And it was $3.67. So I bought it and took it home, and it's just like the greatest songs ever with them singing them. But that's kind of a semi-obscure song, so I'm so fortunate to know great musicians, one of whom is Richard Bennett. And George, of course, George Bradfute, you know, has a studio. Richard does all his solo albums there, too. So I brought Richard in anyway, and he was excited about the last song I'm ever going to sing. He said, oh, have you heard the Joe Carson version? And he knows everything, right? I'm like, no, I don't know who that is. And it turns out Joe Carson is the greatest country singer you never heard of because he died in a car wreck at 26. But Bear Family did a box set on the guy. So he had recorded it. So, you know, I'm thinking Everly's kind of cheery with a sad lyric, you know, but Richard has a different, he's bringing the key down. And my girlfriend loves the vocal now because of it, I guess. And so it was just a treat to work with him. And he sort of borrowed the idea on the Joe Carson version. There's this funky flat wound string electric guitar, which Richard played. And anyway, yeah, I love that song. And I never dreamed we would do it like we did it. But we did, and it kind of got our own version, I guess.
You mentioned that you're on the radio. You have your own show on WMOT in Nashville.
I love being on MOT, and I love Jesse Scott, and she's like Michael Rothschild at Landslide Records, my radio advocate all these years, you know. Because of her, I was one of the first satellite DJs, because she plucked me out of radio obscurity to be on her then Americana channel pre-XM Sirius merger. You know, it was called Cross Country. And I did that for like 4.5 years. And they really just kind of laid everybody off eventually. But then 10 years later, she calls me to do this. And it's like, great.
Well, you are pretty much a Renaissance man. You've also done some acting.
A little bit, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, a lot of the whole thing started with Webb Wilder Private Eye, which was a 13-minute student film with a student director in 1981. But it's you know, it's concise. It's got a thing. It's got a look. It's got some great one-liners. And it got a lot of airplay on early cable TV coast to coast on a program called Night Flight on the USA channel. And then that led a couple of record deals later to a loose sequel called Horror Hayride. And then about that time, I did an indie film that may be on Amazon now called Paradise Park. And out of the blue, I got this gig. There was a movie that was mostly filmed in Nashville, supposedly about the music business in Nashville, called The Thing Called Love. And I went to the audition with the, you know, local casting director and did not get anything. And then out of the blue, this wonderful guy named Jim Myers, who I didn't even know at the time, somehow knew this and championed me and got me a second audition with Peter Bogdanovich himself. And I got the part of the innkeeper, where Miranda Lambert's character and Sandra Bullock's character were ostensibly staying. And so I'm doing this movie, and River Phoenix is in it and everything, and Dermot Mulroney, and all these music people. And I'm thinking, hey, man, this is my first major motion picture. Well, it was my last. And that was 1,000 years ago. Here's another thing. This is how cruel the music business is and how unjust. So there was a point, you know, it was a movie about songs and songwriters, so there are all these songs in the movie. And somebody in the crew came up to me one day. This is all kind of magical stuff that was happening at the time, and said, hey, you know, Peter wants you to write a song for the movie. Being around Peter Bogdanovich was, you know, he had the Ascot, the whole old Hollywood kind of vibe. It was like that way. And I went, oh, great. And the guy said, look, and I'm not telling you what to do, but Steve Soles is the music director, and if you write it with him, you might have a better chance. And I said, man, I think that's a good idea. And he turned out to be a great guy. He had been in the Alpha Band with T-Bone Burnett, you know. And as far as I know, he is a great guy. And I've only been in a room with him one time in my life. And so there's a Mississippi author who's since passed away who had written a book called Big Bad Love. Well, you can't copyright a title. Sounds like a good song title to me. So I'm on my way to the writing appointment, you know, and I said, well, that's what we ought to write. That's kind of accessible, you know. And so we wrote this pretty commercial, I thought, catchy little song, you know, and it was like, who's afraid of the big bad love? You can huff and puff, but that ain't enough. Bum 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 bum. Who's afraid of the big bad love? And so there we did it, you know, we wrote it. So shooting in Nashville's over, and I don't know how much time passed, a little time, and they go to L.A. to film the rest of it. Ring, I get a call from Steve Soles, and he goes, hey, man, good news. We cut the song on Katie Moffitt. It's going to be the first single from the soundtrack album. It's going to be a line dance video. That was the achy, breaky heart time, you know. I said, great, you know, this is great. Well, the soundtrack comes out. Not only was there no line dance video, not only was it not the first single, and it is in the movie. There's a moment where you hear a snippet of the song. It's not on the soundtrack. Now, in what world is it just to have a song in a movie and a movie soundtrack that doesn't have that song on it? But welcome to Nashville.
Oh, man. Well, also, there were books, Webb Wilder, Private Eye.
Well, yes and no. There were... Yes, there were two books in one. It was, and I'm out of stock on them now. Pulp novel, real retro look. In the old days, there were some pulp novels that had two books in one. You know, you have to turn it over. And so, Shane Caldwell and Steve Boyle wrote what was planned to be a series of books and still could be, I guess, called, you know, The Last of the Full-Grown Men series of books in which I am a private eye, but different stories than that film. But yes, yeah.
That is all amazing, man. Webb Wilder in a studio session on Radio Bristol, singing songs and telling stories. The new album is Hillbilly Speedball. You've got another song for us off this new record. But before that, we have to hear the Webb Wilder Credo.
You know it. The Webb Wilder Credo. Work hard, rock hard, eat hard, sleep hard, grow big, wear glasses if you need them. So this song comes from my aunt and uncle, Willard and Lillian McMurray, or Lillian and Willard McMurray. Their record label, Trumpet Records. And even though they had Elmore James and Sonny Boy Williamson, this is a less-known artist, Willie Love, in the Three Aces. And this is kind of a unique song in that the guy in the song is really looking forward to the funeral of his significant other so that he can drive his big new shiny car there. It's kind of like, you know, I don't get to wear these clothes unless somebody dies or gets married. It's that, except it's the car, and it's called V8 Ford Blues. Okay. 2, 3. I'm gonna get Big Bo Hogan to come and dig your grave. I bring my pickaxe and shovel so I can chunk dirt down in your face. I'll be right down at your burying. I'm riding in my V8 Ford. Because you think you so wise, darling. Ooh, girl, I declare you just don't know. If you join your insurance, get your sick and accident too. You better watch your step, girl. Something might happen to you. I'll be right down at your burying. I'm riding in my V8 Ford. Because you think you so wise, darling. Girl, I declare you just don't know. I get my gas in the morning, I check my oil at night. Then I don't have to worry, I know everything's all right. I'll be right down at your burial. I'm riding in my V8 Ford. Because you think you so wise, darling. Ooh, girl, I declare you just don't know. Thank you. I'm going to get the doctor, get the undertaker too. Then the three of us gonna figure out, girl, what did become of you. I'll be right down at your burial. I'm riding in my V8-4. Because you think you're so wise, darling. Girl, I declare you just don't know.
Webb Wilder on Radio Bristol. Several songs from his new album, Hillbilly Speedball, performed in a studio session. We heard V8 Ford Blues, a couple of good moves, and Hillbilly Speedball. Roots Veritas on Radio Bristol. Luke Church.